Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We are in for a beautiful stretch of weather. If you're, maybe I should shout because you might be driving around with the windows rolled down. I say we're in for a stretch of beautiful weather. Highs today of 72, lows tonight in the 50s, then 69 for a high tomorrow, 73, 75 Friday and Saturday. Sunday is going to be great. Highs of 77 and really in the 70s through next Monday. And as you go to the Dome tomorrow night for the Saints-Broncos game, let that cool weather get you fired up and really support them, because now's the time they need you. Not when they're going to the playoffs or when they're in the NFC Championship game. Now's the time they really need the crowd behind them. Daniel Moshon joins us right now, Associate Professor of Marketing at the A.B. Freeman School of Business at Tulane. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Is it Moshon? Did I say that right?
That is right, yes. Yeah.
We're going to talk about this study, a new Tulane University study that explains why politically charged content gets more engagement on social media. And let me ask the audience here at 504-260-1870. I know they call it doom scrolling, but do you anger scroll? Does the audience, do you go through things that you find just waiting to get you angry and then you respond to them? Show me what your study showed, Professor.
So in our research, we examine a pattern that we named the confrontation effect. And this effect is the tendency of online users to engage more with content they disagree with than with content they agree with, especially for highly charged topics like political beliefs. And we find that this effect is mainly due to the outrage that people feel in response to belief-challenging content, which motivates them to confront and fight back against it. So in other words, we see things that we disagree with, it makes us angry, that anger makes us want to fight back and essentially attack the source of the anger. And we label this entire pattern the confrontation effect.
So you're more inclined to respond to something that you disagree with than agree?
Yes, for highly charged topics. We don't see this effect for things people don't care that much about, mm-hmm. like if you're debating, you know, what brand of phone you want or something like that. But for really core values, like our political beliefs, our religious beliefs, that kind of stuff, you know, people get really upset when they see something that goes against their beliefs, and that just encourages them to essentially engage and fight back against it.
Yeah, the first thing I thought of is that people, when I saw this, that people are more inclined to either call a manager over if they're not happy or write a letter or go on media and post a negative review about something if they're angry than they are a positive thing. Does that have anything to do with this at all?
Well, I think in general, outrage is a very strongly motivating emotion, and I think we see the effect of outrage in different settings. So in consumer settings, for sure, if we have a very bad experience and a company makes us upset, that motivates us to go and complain to a manager or post online. You know, the source of the outrage is a little bit different, but I think the motivation is quite similar in these settings.
When it comes to facts entering into this, or truth entering into this, which in this day and age is incredibly hard to find, and I don't know that, you know, now we get philosophical, Professor, right, with what is absolute truth, and there are so many nuances and so many complexities involved with what some people perceive to be simple problems. There are no simple solutions to complex problems. Does that matter in this, or is it just all emotion, or was the study able to determine any of this?
So in our study, we didn't see very much on facts. What we saw is a lot of people just getting upset and kind of yelling back. But I think in the broader question of facts online is a really important one, because, as you said, there's a lot of misinformation online, and it's important to, you know, help people better process and better engage with information. And I think that's the bigger question we're interested in understanding. How do we get people to engage in a positive, productive way with information online, especially in for topics that are important for our country, but that people struggle to look at what the other side is talking about?
I like the difference here between sports or fashion reflecting interest and political engagement stemming from anger, causing a vicious cycle. Talk about that, if you would.
Yes, so there's a lot of research on showing that things that challenge your core values create a much larger degree of outrage than other topics that, you know, we have beliefs about, but they aren't really core to ourselves. Like, you know, I might prefer Nike over Reebok or Reebok over Nike, but if someone tells me that Nike is not a good sneaker, it's not something that's going to outrage me because it's just not a core part of who I am. But if someone starts talking about, you know, political parties or, you know, very deeply held beliefs, then that is the kind of stuff that people get upset about and can lead to this type of effect.
The other thing I thought of when I read this is, you know, how many times have you had a discussion with somebody where you said, are you trying to make me mad? And I realized that, yes, that's exactly what they're trying to do is make you mad. And we'll talk about the reasons for that when we come back with Daniel Moshon, an executive associate professor of marketing at the A.B. Freeman School of Business at Tulane. New Tulane University study explains why politically charged content gets more engagement on social media. And yes, they are trying to get you mad. And we'll talk about why when we come back. 7:50, 10 till 8, Traffic Now, WWL. 7:56, 4 till 8, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with Dr. Daniel Moshon, associate professor of marketing at the prestigious A.B. Freeman School of Business at Tulane. New study explains why politically charged content gets more engagement on social media. And, Professor, I was saying earlier, you know, like when you have an argument with somebody and they say, are you trying to get me mad? That's kind of what they're trying to do. And it leads to a cycle that's based on algorithms and we're being manipulated. Explain that, if you would, please.
Well, the way most online platforms work is that they look at people's engagement to try to figure out what type of content they want to show them. And in most cases, that's actually a pretty good rule to follow. If I engage with posts about fashion, I probably care about fashion. If I engage with posts about sports, I probably care about sports. The problem comes into the domain of politics or other, you know, core beliefs that we have where the type of content that we engage with isn't necessarily a good reflection of what we want to, you know, see more of. Our research shows that when we see things we disagree with, it makes us angry. That makes us engage with it. And because of the way these algorithms work, it's just going to lead to being fed more of this anger-inducing content. And so it sort of creates this vicious cycle where I'm shown stuff I don't like, I get angry, I engage with it out of anger, and then it shows me more of it, and I get caught in this vicious negative cycle of anger and engagement.
With an eye toward what? Who's generating the content, and what is the ultimate goal here?
Well, I mean, I think there are many parties involved. The platforms themselves, like the social media networks, their goal is just to keep you on the network. You know, the longer, the more time you spend there, the more ads they can show you, and so the more money they can make. And so whatever keeps you engaged, whether it's positive or negative, the more they'll show you of it. You know, as for the parties trying to induce outrage, well, outrage is very motivating. And so if I'm working in politics and I'm trying to get my base riled up, you know, outrage is a good way to do so. And so I think it's being used as a tactic to get people motivated and take action. But at the same time, it's not necessarily great for the users or for society in general to have everyone in a constant state of outrage.
That was my next question, because it's outrage for outrage's sake, and that can't have good effects throughout society, right? In the real world, when you get off of social media and then try to, does that, I guess the question, doctor, is does it transfer from social media into people's everyday lives and interactions?
I think so. I mean, over the past few years and decades, we've seen a big rise in political polarization. You know, people are talking less and less to those across the political aisle. And there are many factors behind that, but I would guess that social media and this outrage machine is in part contributing to people not being able to engage anymore in a positive way with those they disagree with or those who have different opinions than theirs.
Hence, are you trying to get me mad? Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time. Dr. Daniel Moshon, Associate Professor of Marketing at the A.B. Freeman School of Business at Tulane. It can also lead to nut jobs saying they're going out to hunt FEMA workers in North Carolina, which doesn't help anything. And I realize he's an isolated nut job. I get that, but still. We'll talk to Ronald Serpa as we come back, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief. We'll talk about crime and policing in New Orleans, and we're going to talk about electric vehicles. A lot coming up. Stay with us.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.